Shotgun snap to Daniels. Blitzes on. Throws an arching spiral pass into the end zone, and it was caught by McLaurin. Was he in the corner? Yes! Yes, he was! Touchdown! In the back corner of the end zone!
That was the one that put it away. The Washington Commanders go on the road, upset the Cincinnati Bengals. Now the Bengals are 0-3. Jaden Daniels is a legitimate star on the NFL level now after a big primetime game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That was a surprising result, Pearl, and the Commanders and Jaden Daniels look legit.
Can I put my objective NFL analysis aside and just comment as a Philadelphia Eagles fan for a second?
Yeah.
What the heck is going on with this guy? Now we have to deal with this guy? All of a sudden, the Commanders are good, Daniel Snyder's gone, and this man is delivered to Washington, and I'm going to have to deal with him in my life for a decade?
Maybe more. He might be the rookie of the year. I mean, right now, he's got to be he's having a better season through three games, I know, than even Caleb Williams, who was like the anointed one. Here comes the Heisman Trophy winner, a Heisman Trophy winner from LSU going up, a Heisman Trophy winner from LSU. It was a bit of a shootout, and Jaden Daniels is the victor.
I don't care about Rookie of the Year. This guy's going to win four MVPs if he plays like that. Rookie of the Year is the least of my concerns. I'm worried about him being the next Patrick Mahomes the way he looked last night. It was that good, Maggie.
Yeah, it was that good. And, you know, it's not like he's got murderer's row of receivers here. Terry McLaurin is awesome. We've always talked about how great he is, but he couldn't really showcase his talent because he was never playing with a good team.
Nope.
And now he does have a good team. They shored up the offensive line. They talked about that on the broadcast last night. And you have a run game. They were able to take advantage of some injuries on the Cincinnati front. But honestly, I can't even really blame the injuries for Cincinnati's loss here. You know, you get into a shootout with a team at home, and you've got Joe Burrow, and you've got Ja'Marr Chase, and you've got T. Higgins back, and you've got Yoshi Vosh, who turns out to be this very good third receiver. And you've got, it's not like you have no run game. Okay, maybe you missed Joe Mixon, but I don't really even think that's the case. I just don't understand how the Bengals lost this game. I know how. The Commanders outplayed them on offense. But I find it hard to blame the Cincinnati Bengals' defensive injuries of B.J. Hill and a couple other interior guys for why they lost this game.
I think sometimes the opponent's just better. I mean, the guy was dropping 50-yard dimes into the corner of the end zone with 1 inch to spare to Terry McLaurin. There's two things that were happening. First of all, Jaden Daniels was just red hot and hitting every pass, but also his running is a major problem. So there are he got a lot of first downs, and that's the story of the NFL. You saw it to a lesser extent, even in the blowout win, Josh Allen ran for a bunch of first downs. If you have a running quarterback, it's just really hard. Even Lou Anarumo, as great a defensive coordinator as he is for Cincinnati, running quarterback poses all kinds of problems. Couldn't get the Commanders off the field because Jaden was a weapon on short yardage. So I think that's – I'm not really killing the Bengals for that. I mean, their defense definitely was weak.
Definitely.
But, you know, that's just a lot of challenges from the Commander side. I look at this as a Commanders win, and – EJ said something to me before the show that really resonates. Like, that's Cincinnati screwed around with week one.
They did.
Like, and now they're in a real hole. I don't actually kill Cincinnati for last night. They just ran into a super red hot player.
I don't know. Like, this is the thing with when you start off slow and everyone kind of acknowledges it, then all of a sudden, whoops-a-daisy, now you've lost two games to teams who were picking in the top three of the draft last year. These were the bottom feeders of the league where the Commanders picked second and the New England Patriots picked third, and you just lost home games to both of them. Yeah. Meanwhile, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers out to a 3-0 lead and a 3-0 start of the season. And this division, you know, listen, the Browns are terrible. You'll walk over them most likely. But again, it's the AFC North. And we'll see what happens with the Ravens. They've got a tough game against the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. So you mess around, you play with your food, you think, okay, we're going to have plenty of time to get it back, and now all of a sudden you're 0-3. And there's another thing about this 0-3 from Cincinnati, not to take away from the Commanders' win. That was great. Jaden Daniels looked amazing. They deserve all the flowers. But there also is a little something about Cincinnati. Remember when we talked to, was it Trey Wingo, said he had a source in the building, said the vibes were off? I know this was end up being a very close game because the Bengals end up scoring a late touchdown, but it did kind of feel like the vibes are off. I don't know. Does it seem like this is a real cohesive? I just felt like there is something missing right now with a team who's got Super Bowl aspirations. They don't look like it.
No, definitely not. I think they spent all their money on offense, and they have not spent on defense. You know, they had a spending spree on defense that helped them get to the Super Bowl. I think they just don't have the personnel on defense. A lot of young guys, especially in the back seven. So I just think their defense isn't good. I think on the offense side, they're going to be a juggernaut. And by the way, I still wouldn't bet against Joe Burrow. I mean, they're probably going to start at 0-4 because they play Andy Dalton next week.
But, the rejuvenated Andy Dalton.
Even so, I just don't walk away like writing off the season for the Bengals because Joe Burrow's amazing. He is amazing, amazing. Like, honestly, Jaden Daniels was the best quarterback on planet Earth last night, but Joe Burrow was third behind Josh Allen being second. But Joe Burrow was, that's a bad man still, I think.
I get it.
There was one drive where he threw, I think, four 20-yard passes in a row. I know that the Commanders are a little bit of prevent, but he just feels in total command to me. I would not totally write off the Bengals, but I think he's great.
Man, I'm not writing off the Bengals, although I'm tempted to, but I've seen before how dangerous they can be. I thought that Burrow was good. I thought he missed a couple throws. I mean, no one's going to be perfect except for Jaden Daniels, who had more touchdown passes than incomplete passes. Let that sink in. He was 21 for 23 on the night. Two incomplete passes for a rookie quarterback on the road against a team whose defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, is basically a household name at this point. And he was that good. And he had three touchdown passes. So more touchdown passes than incomplete passes. I can't tell what it was with Burrow. Missed a guy high in the back of the end zone. Mm. Thought he missed a couple throws. Throwing a lot to Yoshi Vosh. I mean, you know, Jamar Chase's stat line at the end of the night looked good with the six catches for over 100 yards. But I feel like I watched him score on the first drive, and I watched him score in the fourth quarter, and I don't remember any catches in the middle of the game. Maybe I'm just not, it's not me. And I know T. Higgins is working his way back. I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not quite sure what you're referring to. I mean, he had 128 rating. It's one of the top five games of the year. He was 29 for 38, three touchdowns, no picks. And yeah, there were some misses, but also a lot of those were because of pressure. Sure. Not that, I mean, There actually weren't that many misses. He was 29 for 38. That was clear. They couldn't get on the field as much because the Commanders were just hitting all their short yardage, third and fourth downs.
They were. And there was one, I thought, key first down that the Commanders got by penalty. And it ended up being, and it was the only first down they got by penalty. It was actually a pretty clean game. There were not a lot of penalties in this game. It was great. It was nice. It was refreshing, actually. Although the Bengals may have gotten hosed with a holding call late in the game in the end zone. But anyway, again, they get hosed. Here's the thing. Cam Taylor-Britt, who had talked more trash than anybody, right, called the Commanders a college offense. A nice little college offense they're running there. Meanwhile, they're like the most efficient offense we've seen so far this season. He got one penalty that I think it was like a hands to the face on the sideline. And it kept a drive alive for the Commanders, and I thought that was actually a very key moment because they go down and score. That could have maybe turned the tide. There was plenty of time left for the Bengals to make a difference.
Can I say one thing about that holding that you just referenced, where Jeremy Chinn on the two-point conversion?
Yeah, on the two-point conversion. Thank
you. What the heck is ESPN is making that into a federal case when they ignored what happened with the Chiefs, by the way, which was 20 times worse? They slowed that down to one frame a second. They're like, it's a stupid two-point conversion anyway. And they brought in their officiating expert. Where would
it wasn't a stupid two-point conversion. That would have made it a three-point game as opposed to a five-point game.
Yeah, but that was 1/100th as important as what happened in the Chiefs game. So I think that is ridiculous, the amount of attention. That was a bang-bang play. They had to slow that down really a lot to show that was nothing compared to the Falcons receiver getting tackled in the end zone
with the game on the line. I thought you were talking about Bengals Chiefs. The Bengals Chiefs, that was a pass interference.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're talking about Chiefs Falcons.
I'm saying like all the attention they put on that Jeremy Chinn holding was strange to me. I think that that was a makeup analyst, even though it was NBC that missed the Falcons thing. Anyway, regardless, I'm not sure. Like, there's nothing Joe Burrow can do when the other quarterback is 21 for 23. I mean, and not to mention, he had one short yardage run play where he was dead to rights, and the guy can cut left and right like a running back. There's nothing. This is not on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is awesome. He's going to be great. Even if they have a losing record this year, he's going to be awesome. I just think that they ran into a buzzsaw last night, and there's nothing they could have done. Jaden Daniels is great. I got to be honest. We saw this last year. I'm thinking of the Alabama game. It's great. Can he stay healthy if he runs that much? That is a question. I mean, same thing with Lamar Jackson running like crazy this year, too. Like, this is the game in the NFL. Can my mobile quarterback stay healthy? Josh Allen, I don't know why he was running last night in a blowout, but he seemed intent on it as well.
Well, because there was all this green grass there. Yeah. He was actually protecting himself. Yeah. He didn't take any big hits last night, and he was running because the Red Sea was parting.
It's not the big hits. It's the way these guys decide whether to slide or go down. Every time Jaden Daniels, like, oh, he slid. Oh, he dove. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing in open grass.
That is Purdy. Purdy always goes head first like he's diving into the corner in a hockey game or something. I don't know.
I just feel like the more this is the trend in the NFL, quarterbacks are running like crazy. Can they stay healthy? Because, you know, there's another quarterback in Washington who started off like a house on fire named Robert Griffin III.
Yep.
And eventually he wore down. That's my only solace as an Eagles fan, that Jaden Daniels, they need to figure out a way, like, how much are we going to run this guy? Because he's spectacular. You must protect Jaden Daniels.
No, he is awesome. And I credit the Commanders also, because a lot of times with defensive head coaches like Dan Quinn is, you can tend to get a little conservative, especially when you're playing this well. But with 4 minutes and 18 seconds left in the game, they're facing a 4th and 4. And it was outside of field goal range. So you went ahead upon it, but it wasn't like a gimme, in my opinion. Yeah. And you have the lead. I know at that point they had not been able to stop the Bengals, but still, rookie quarterback on the road, you can see the win, right? It's right there. You can touch it. It's 31-26, and they get this big first down on the 4th and 4.
Yeah.
And that was just spectacular. If they're going to also play with that kind of moxie and, you know, that kind of aggressiveness, that's a fun team to watch.
Well, this is actually a function of they don't trust their kicker at all. Like, that was no choice. Is it Austin Siebert? They're like, he's never hit a field goal. Like, the guy is...
He won Special Teams Player of the Week last week. He was great against
the Giants. They said his career high is 51 or something. And they just don't trust their kicker. And it actually works out great.
They trust Daniels, that's for sure. Will we get booed off the stage if we ask a poll question? Would you rather have Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams?
Oh, obviously Daniels.
Yeah, no, not at all. No booing on this stage.
I mean, if you put it tonight, I mean, Daniels has to win that poll, right?
Like, forever. You got to call it now. It's not just right now.
We got to say forever.
You got to make a choice.
I think it's...
future of your franchise, would you rather have Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams? Call it now.
I think Daniels wins this poll.
Is Daniels the right answer?
Yes, probably. It's close. I mean, Daniels, I'm telling you, Daniels, you must protect him. He is tiny.
Yeah.
Caleb's a little sturdier, but if Caleb was in Washington with Cliff Kingsbury, he'd probably be really good too. Through the first 8 weeks. And then, you know.
I mean, what did we talk about? Well, all right. Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury ends up kind of peters out a little bit towards the end of the season.
Well, the defense is figuring out Cliff, but I think Caleb would be great here, but I do think Jaden's peak in college was probably a little better than Caleb's peak in college. I mean, that's probably controversial, but...
Well, he also had a much better team.
Really?
Well, the defense wasn't as good, but he had first round picks on the offensive line.
But Caleb had
Malik Nabers.
Yeah, Caleb had Lincoln Riley calling plays. That's
true.
It's a pretty good formula. I'm not sure that... I mean, they're both transcendent college players. We should put it out there. I predict Jaden Daniels wins 52-48.
Is it unfair to ask this poll today? I mean,
yeah, that's why I'm saying he wins. Did you see Jaden Daniels last night? Yeah. How can you click on Caleb Williams?
I know.
It might be 80-20 if you put it up today.
What's that?
It might be 80-20 Jaden Daniels.
If you put it up today.
Yeah, it is totally unfair to put up this poll today. Polling is not an exact science, but after last night, it feels a little unfair.
855-212-4227. And also, should the Bengals be worried? Can we also put that poll up? Because
no, we can't put that poll up. They're 0-3.
I know, but you said they shouldn't be.
Well, I didn't say that they shouldn't be worried. I'm just not giving up on them.
Okay.
You can't say, should this 0-3 team be worried? Yeah, you're 0-3. The question is, how about this question? Do the Cincinnati Bengals make the playoffs? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a clear no at this point, or is it still up in the air? Because I think it's up in the air.
I think it's up in the air because I think they're getting a little help from the AFC. You know, it looks like the Jags are not going to be... If we're talking about a potential wild card teams, Cleveland doesn't look very good.
Right.
We'll see what's going on with the Ravens. But obviously, that was a big win for them. And they've had... All their losses were near... The losses before were near losses.
Yeah, the Ravens have good numbers. They look in pretty good shape. In fact, they look terrifying Although we'll see next week.
Miami season might be over if they can't figure out the quarterback thing.
So Jets, Bills, good.
Yeah.
Ravens, Bengals.
Steelers.
Steelers. So that's three. And then, oh, yeah, you're right. It's pretty thin after that.
Right. You're looking at Houston, and they'll most likely win the AFC South, but the Colts are not doing what we thought. Some people on the show thought the Titans were going to be good. And I'm not going to name any names there. And then, obviously, it doesn't look like the Raiders have much going on, considering they're thinking about benching their quarterback after 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, my
Denver,
God. I didn't think about
the
this.
The Chargers, now Justin Herbert is hurt. So the AFC might be breaking right here to give
to get that third wild card spot.
A little bit.
That is really interesting. I never thought about that.
855-212-4227. So let's put that up too, EJ, if you don't mind. Will the Bengals make the playoffs after an 0-3 start? Okay, lots to do. We didn't even get to the other game. Speaking of Jacksonville, woof. I'll tell you what. They called Josh Allen overrated. There was a player poll where they said Josh Allen was the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. There was an overrated quarterback in the NFL last night in Buffalo. It wasn't Josh Allen. The gut check time for Trevor Lawrence. You can't get rattled like that on the road. You got to give your team a chance to win. A chance. So we'll get to all that. So much to do after a big Monday Night Football doubleheader. Major. 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So the experiment of letting Stephon Diggs leave Buffalo. Are we three games in? Are we all decided that was the move of the offseason? And by the way, I think you should have seen it coming. Everybody should see, after they started playing so well at the end of last season, that wasn't a fluke. They're clearly better when they're spreading the ball around and Diggs is not in the building. I mean, unless Jacksonville's defense was so bad that was an anomaly, it just looks like Josh Allen and the Bills have figured it out, Maggie.
It looks like that. Now, let's see what happens when they play the Ravens next week on Monday Night Football. That's going to be a little bit different test. Right. The Ravens' defense is much, much better than Jacksonville, and Jacksonville was not competitive in that game. So we can talk about Trevor Lawrence and whether or not he should have gotten that big contract and whether or not he's the problem or the solution or whatever. As far as the Bills with Stephon Diggs, though, Pearl, you're right, and I didn't see it. Like, I thought that anytime you get rid of a guy who is a number one receiver or close to it at 30 years old or 31, whatever Diggs is, I always think, how is that a good thing? You know, how is that a good thing when you get rid of somebody who is able to make plays for you? But you're absolutely right. And the way that they spread the offense around and the way that they have this sort of consistency with the offense, if they can stay patient and if they can commit to this, there's a rhythm. When Stephon Diggs was there, when Ken Dorsey was the offensive coordinator, if they ever gained any type of yardage on first down, and say you got to like second and five, second and six, something like that, you could almost pencil in bomb to Stephon Diggs. Like that's where the next play was going. And if you miss, then all of a sudden now you're third and six and you're saying, Josh, go get us a first down. That's not the way this offense works anymore. And it's amazing to watch. I've never had two more stress-free halves of football that I've ever watched in my life than the first half against Miami and the first half against Jacksonville. I'm not used to this. Like, oh, they're going to just go score again, huh? Bananas. And the other part of it is name five people on the Bills defense. And if DeMar Hamlin hadn't had the story that he had, I don't think no one would know DeMar. And that was a great moment last night that he gets his first career interception on maybe the worst thrown ball that I've ever seen Trevor Lawrence throw. That was the easiest play that DeMar Hamlin will ever have in his life. And it's great that he got this moment and it was at home in front of the Bills fans and all the support staff and everything. But
one thing, the broadcasters were glowing up AJ Epinesa and Greg Rousseau all night long, who we've talked about before on the show, like high picks that where all of a sudden
first round picks,
all of a sudden it was Epinesa first or second round
actually.
Yeah, but those are high picks that I've always felt like, man, those guys they seem talented, but they never really deliver. Last night they were unstoppable.
Von Miller got a sack last night. He's actually had one in each game, but it's like they were all getting after it. And the secondary was really where you were worried about the Bills, but this again, I think this is a lot about the Jaguars. Like their offense. Brian Thomas is awesome, but
he's okay. I mean, last night he looked like a rookie.
You can see the talent, though.
I'm not going to defend Trevor Lawrence. He's obviously not good. But when the defense lets up four touchdowns on the first four drives, you've all of a sudden limited your offense to nothing but pass. You're not going to use Trevor Etienne. So I'm not sure. You look at that game last night, I think the defense is your number one concern. Like, they were just had no answers from the get-go. They just could not get the Bills off the field.
No, they couldn't. And listen, it's not like, you know, the Bills have talent on offense, but obviously Josh is the one that makes it go.
Yeah.
There's, like, it's not number one guys, you know? James Cook has been fantastic, so maybe he steps in as a number one. Yeah. But the rest of the guys, like, it really is, you know, Keon Coleman, yeah, who had his touchdown last night. So he's the first round or second round pick, rather. He wasn't even a first rounder. And, you know, you're just sort of spreading the ball around. Dalton Kincaid finally, you know, got his last night. And Khalil Shakir is good in the middle of the field. And it just is like a little bit of everybody.
Yeah. I mean, the issue, too, is you cannot, if you're playing defense against the Bills, you can't turn your back on Josh Allen. You can't really play man. You have to play zone because he's going to run.
Totally.
Now, I still wonder. I'm just waiting for this dude to get hurt. This guy is like the most, like, I've never seen a quarterback run as much in his career and never get hurt doing it. Like, at some point, he's going to take a Cam Newton type.
I mean,
I'm just saying, like,
I'm sitting right here.
It's a complete blowout. I'm like, you don't have to run in this game. And it's like all that grass is in front of him.
did he take a hit, though?
I'd probably not, but at some point, like, that's a game where you don't need to run six times for 44 yards.
You know what, though? It was all third down, basically. It's all third and manageable. And if the Red Sea's going to part, he's going to take it. But you saw no Josh Allen lowering the shoulder last night and trying to barrel into somebody. You saw no Josh Allen trying to leap over somebody.
Yeah, you'll see all that next week.
Well, you might, because they might need it. They needed it week one against the Cardinals. They were about to lose that game if he didn't take over. And
okay.
So, like, what are you going to do?
I thought he was good last night.
He protected himself.
What is the record of the Bills' opponents so far this year?
Oh, gosh, probably not very good.
So it's got to be 2-7, if my math is correct.
Yeah.
So I think the only, and I'm only doing this because I'm the only one who's honest here that will root against my coworkers' teams consistently. Like, yes, Josh Allen's going to win the MVP. Yes, the Bills are going to win the AFC East. But let's just hold off a little bit until they beat a good team.
The first thing I said, let's see what happens when they play the Ravens on Monday night.
Your words said that, but I didn't believe you.
So they're at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets. These are the next three games. It's very conceivable they're 3-3 after these games. It's possible. So I'm holding off on everything. I would just say the Josh Allen overrated crowd can probably just go take a seat.
Yeah, that was a funny poll. Because the media never overrates Josh Allen. They love Josh Allen.
No, I think the media is part of the problem. Like, apparently, I think the media hypes him up.
The players, right.
The players were the ones who thought he was overrated.
Got it.
And I just don't see how that's possible.
Yeah, that's funny because the crowd is the actual players. Usually the crowd is the media and the fans who speak for the fans.
Right.
This is crazy good. By the way, Trevor Lawrence, that contract is looking not great, Meg.
No, it's not looking good. Can we hear a little Doug Peterson, please, Ryan? How about Peterson saying the Jaguars need some changes? That's going
to there be- has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything. Everything's on the table. Let's call it right. And those are all things that we have to, you know, I have to look at. We have to look at as a staff and make the adjustments.
How about take the play calling responsibilities back then, Doug? I don't think Press Taylor's very good. Now, to Perloff's point, what options do you have when you're down four touchdowns? But still, let's hear more from Doug Peterson on the team needs to get off to better starts. That's obvious.
It's not for lack of effort or trying and all of that. I just think that sometimes you just have to get out of your own way, right? And we just keep digging ourselves in a hole early and can't seem to dig our way out of it, you know, especially, you know, as one-sided as this game was today.
Here's Trevor Lawrence taking accountability for his bad play.
I'm not playing as good as I can play, just point blank. There's plays out there, you know, with the one to Brian, which I'm sure you guys saw, like that, just a throw you miss and turns into a turnover. And it's a game where the defense needed us to make some plays, to get some momentum, to settle in, to keep the ball, put some points on the board, give them a little breather. And that, for example, really hurts us.
Yeah. And he should take accountability for Perloff. Is he the biggest? The thing is about, is he the biggest problem? No, the defense is the biggest problem. But there was a moment where Trevor Lawrence at the end of the first half is just totally rattled. And that can't happen for a guy who's making $50 million a year. You cannot get rattled at where you're just blatantly missing throws. Bill's defense is in your head and he sees ghosts out there. That cannot happen for a $50 million guy.
The Bills got to pin their ears back and go after him. You know, the great thing for Doug Peterson is his offense coordinator is Press Taylor, right, who he's tied at the hip with. So they're not going to put him in as the head coach if they fire him midseason. And their defense coordinator is this new guy. They got a lot of camera time last night, Ryan Nielsen. He's not going to be the head coach. So I think that...
Wow. So he gets to stay because his assistants are crap?
We got to see who the special teams coach is or if there's some old guy who's there. But otherwise, I've seen some quotes from Shad Khan. He's completely fed up. Like, they spent a lot of money on this team, and it's not doing anything. So Doug Peterson is on the hottest of hot seats. He could be the first to go.
Yeah, I mean, and what they do at midseason, you're right. They're not going to elevate the offensive coordinator. That's just a mini Doug.
They might, because this is a team that they expected to take another leap, right? Like, they missed the playoff last year barely, and now you're talking about a team that wants to win back the division and then maybe win another playoff game like they did 2 years ago. It feels like this Doug Peterson team is kind of doing what we saw happen with the Eagles, right? Like, starts off kind of good. He kind of changes the culture. The vibes are great. And then, like, a disappointing season where they don't meet expectations. And then the, you know, bottom falls out. Like, that's literally what happened in Philadelphia. Mm. I feel like I'm watching the same story in Jacksonville.
This guy, Ryan Nielsen, the defensive coordinator, heck of a mustache. That's all I can say. Is this wild? Would this be too crazy? When's their bye? Do you guys mind looking that up?
By the way, they do have a former head coach, Mike McCoy, on their staff, former Chargers coach.
Remember that?
They're not a lot of other options here. So, but I think you could put in Mike McCoy. He knows how to run a team. He's their quarterback coach. Well, and they also have Chad Hall. Wasn't he a former Jet? Chad Hall, the BYU. He's a well thought of offensive coach.
Man, anyway, we're already playing musical chairs with the assistant.
I don't know. You can't do Press Taylor because they're famously good friends. So I honestly, Doug Peterson, EJ's right. The message has gone stale. Clearly, the Jaguars defense did not come to play last night.
No, they didn't. They got embarrassed in prime time. So they don't have their bye week to week 12. So this is going to poke a little bit of a hole in my theory. But is it possible? Is it early enough that if you wanted to do something radical, you could bring Belichick in?
No chance. Midseason? I feel like if there was any ownership group that would try something that
Wouldn't
radical,
it be this, group?
This would probably be the group. But I just don't, and I know we've been banging on the defense. They were horrendous last night.
And Belichick would help that.
Right. But
instantly.
I think... And I know we've already said Trevor Lawrence may be the most overrated quarterback. I don't think he's been banged hard enough on this beginning of the show. Like,
he was terrible.
Yeah, and the first 2 weeks, the defense played well enough to win. Like, let's be real. Like, they played well enough against Miami to win. They played well enough against Cleveland to win. They gave up 18 points in week two, 17 points in week one. Your quarterback that's making $51 million just has to give you – those have to be W's. You have to put that in the back pocket. He's the number one pick in the draft. He was said to be this generational talent. And he stinks.
Yeah.
He's not good.
I'm sorry.
Like, he's missing throws left and right. He's a tough guy. He's got great physical traits. But what I've been saying all along is that I feel like Trevor Lawrence is a great talent. He's not a great quarterback.
Well, I think that's why people look to the coaching and say he's this great talent. Who's not developed? Like, who's not getting the best out of him? Right? Who's not making the job easier for him or whatever? But yeah, no. Last night, you can't have a quarterback you're paying $50 million who doesn't give you a chance to win on the road.
Yes, all that is true. And he's 0-8 in his last eight games. There's no defending Trevor Lawrence.
Well, he was hurt last year, so I feel like was last year a little bit different? I don't know.
No, I mean, last year was a huge disaster at the end of the season.
But
he was hurt. Position. Regardless, the same guy this year. They lined up four touchdowns on the first four drives.
I know.
There is nothing matters last night. That was... I see what you're saying. We haven't banged on them hard enough, but you cannot bang on that defense. There were plays where Josh Allen had about 30 yards of green in front of him and four open receivers. Like, the Jags defense did not show, didn't make the trip. So I just think last night was a little bit of a hard assignment. No quarterback was winning that game.
I get that, Pearl, but just like you said in the first segment, I think you were fair and accurate in saying that, like, look, Joe Burrow was like, He was trying to keep the Bengals in that game. He's making throws. They're scoring touchdowns. Like, that game could have really got away from Cincinnati, and he kept them in the game. I know that's a home game. It's a little bit of a different atmosphere. But, like, that's what Trevor Lawrence is supposed to do. Like, he's the number one pick in the draft. He didn't win a Heisman, but he's a national championship caliber quarterback. He won one. Like,
yeah.
He's supposed to say, okay, this is going to be a little bit of a shootout. I got to keep my team afloat. And then as soon as you need to play, he overthrows Brian Thomas by, like, 20 yards.
Yeah, but EJ, if you put Joe Burrow in Jacksonville and you put Trevor Lawrence in Cincinnati, do both situations look a lot different?
Yes.
I think so. I think that Jacksonville's got really deep fundamental problems right now.
So, Bills go down and score a touchdown, miss the extra point. Jacksonville goes three down. Bills go down the field, score a touchdown. Jacksonville goes on a 14-play drive, has to settle for a field goal. Bills go down and score a touchdown. Trevor Lawrence throws a pick. Bills go down and score a touchdown. They punt after five plays. Like, their defense played badly and didn't have a prayer. They didn't have a break. They barely had anything. You're welcome to weigh in on Trevor Lawrence at 855-212-4227. Are you out? I don't know if that's too harsh. Andrew Bogish is here with an update.
If we put that poll, are you out on Trevor Lawrence? That's a 80% yes.
It's 100 to 100.
No, it's another. It's Ryan Botcher. That's an 80-20 poll.
I'm out on him, by the way. Yeah. Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Maggie, you already mentioned Jaden Daniels only throwing two incompletions last night in Cincinnati. 21 to 23. That's 91.3 completion percentage. The best ever by a rookie. Daniels threw two scores, ran for another, so he had more touchdowns than incompletions. And now his Commanders are 2-1.
It's great, not just for me, but for the whole team. The work that we put in training camp, be able to pay off. Obviously, not just how we didn't want to start the season like that. But we kept working, kept growing, and keep improving each and every week.
Back-to-back wins after a season-opening loss in Tampa Bay. Daniels' offense has not punted or turned the ball over these last 2 weeks. The 38-33 final dropping the Bengals to 0-3, their worst start since 2019. Joe Burrow threw for 324 and three scores, but part of their problem was his offense settling for three first-half field goals, one of which was missed. The Bills didn't miss in the first half with the Jaguars. Five possessions, five touchdowns, four of them on throws from Josh Allen. The beating ended 47-10. Allen with his team record 11th four-touchdown game.
We're just trying to go 1-0 each week. And again, I think last week we found it through running the ball. And this week we knew we were going to have to throw it. And again, guys made plays.
Trevor Lawrence, meanwhile, has lost eight consecutive starts in their last 10 quarters. His offense has produced just 23 points. We are overflowing with Chargers news on this Tuesday morning. Safety Derwin James suspended one game for repeated violations of player safety rules. He'll appeal. James's latest issue was a helmet-to-helmet hit on Steeler tight end Pat Freiermuth on Sunday. Rookie tackle Joe Alt reportedly has a sprained MCL. He is unlikely to play Sunday against the Chiefs. And most importantly, X-ray is negative on Justin Herbert's right ankle, which was already hurt before it got hurt again over the weekend. He remains day-to-day. The Phillies clinched the NL East last night with a 6-2 win over the Cubs. The Astros did not clinch the AL West, losing at home to the Mariners 6-1. Seattle's a game and a half behind the Tigers for the last wild card spot, and the Diamondbacks went backwards in the NL wild card chase.
1-2. Chapman, it's a high drive. Left center field. McCarthy tracking. He'll jump, and he can't catch it. It's off the wall, and it's going to start caroming back towards center field. Chapman coming to third. Williams is sending him. Here comes a throw. He slides in safely. Matt Chapman with an inside the park home run.
That's from Giants Radio. The two-run inside the park homer, part of a 6-3 Arizona loss. They drop a half game behind the idle Mets for the second wild card. The Braves a game and a half behind the Diamondbacks. And do I have conference realignment news for you guys? Gonzaga denying reports that it's headed for the Pac-12, but Utah State's apparently accepting that invite. The Pac-12 is also flirting with some AAC schools, but Memphis, Tulane, USF, and UTSA have recommitted to their league. There's also about eight different nuggets coming out of the Mountain West. We will do that next hour to not overwhelm Pearl and others with all. I mean, this is apparently the week of re-finalize where everybody's going. So it was like craziness yesterday.
So the Pac-12 is like a mid-major now? Is that what's happening?
Well, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just hoping to stay alive.
Yeah, best case scenario.
Elevated mid-major.
Now, if with Utah State, that will give them 7 football schools. So they would need one more to be to stay a conference.
Within UNLV, aren't they having like emergency meetings?
That's part of the Mountain West thing. Mountain West thought they had their things buttoned up, and then Utah State left, and now things are wide open again.
Why is Utah State and UNLV like what? Why are they?
Well, I think what it is the Mountain West got agreements from everybody that was still in the Mountain West to stay, okay. But that agreement was pending on them all staying. And when Utah State said, defected. You know what? I'm going to go Pac-12. That allowed UNLV to go, we're going to rethink our things.
Got it. So where's the extra moolah?
Yeah, I think the reporting last week was that UNLV and Nevada wanted to go together to the Pac-12.
Well, that makes a little more sense.
Right. So that was a direct link. This is, I think, more of like just a time. Like Utah State going allowed UNLV to rethink its position.
And Utah State only has power because Jordan Love is good. Is that the...
It has power because they play football and they're Pacific-ish.
Yeah.
Nice helmets.
Yeah.
They do have great helmets.
By the way, can Gonzaga, can we get this deal done? Come on. Like, rumors that you'll get the football money even though you're only a basketball school.
How about that?
Got to make that happen.
I mean, they should have been in that league years ago.
Yeah, well, Pac-12 didn't want them.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. I mean, wow. Well, the issue was Gonzaga doesn't have a football team. So, like, if they were going to make a move... Previously, Gonzaga would have to take a small share of that TV money because they wouldn't get the football money. Apparently now the Pac-12 is like, you don't have a football team? We will still give you football money to come here. And I don't know if it's them maybe just want to play coy, say, oh, we're thinking about it, but they got to make this happen. Like, they have to go, like, yesterday. I don't know what was going on yesterday. I
feel like they should invent a football team and go to the ACC. They feel ACC-ish now, like Stanford, Cal, Gonzaga.
They've almost ruined the Big 12.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah, Big 12 been trying to get them for like 3-4
because
years now.
This is a much ACC better fit. The ACC basketball is going to be crazy, and Gonzaga should play Duke in North Carolina. That'd be sick.
What if
can
we
you
just
arrange that?
Yeah, but it's like Spokane. It feels even further away somehow than Palo Alto and Berkeley. I don't think it is, listen, but it feels like it is.
Listen, when Cal plays NC State, throw out the record books. That rivalry is one for the ages.
What if we throw EJ in charge of a Gonzaga video game football team, and they just simulate games on Saturdays?
There you go. Yeah, just let me just build a roster, and you know that their opponent doesn't have to play them.
It's like a half a bye week for the real teams.
Right, I'll just simulate the game, and they'll probably lose because Gonzaga, it's a small school in Spokane, and they'll get the W and we move on. But this basketball thing has to happen. By the way, that could be a good basketball conference. You got San Diego State, Gonzaga, Colorado State. Like, you have some teams that are perennial tournament teams.
And I think I saw a tweet yesterday that St. Mary's could go to the Pac-12 with Gonzaga.
That would be a dream. That'd be awesome.
And then peace out, West Coast Conference.
Yeah, West Coast Conference. Goodbye. Yeah.
Dream?
Yeah, wow.
Dare to dream. St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Look, I want that bag. I want Gonzaga to get that football bag. That could change everything.
Wow. Pac-12, Conference of Champions right there. Okay. 855-212-4227. Folks, can I ask you a small favor for next update? Can we get that TV rating?
I've looked. I haven't seen it.
I looked last night.
I looked
several
last night,
times.
Too.
All I get is this Richard Deitch article on how great the WNBA ratings are. But I'm like,
from a week ago.
I actually was going to book Richard Deitch, the Athletic, today.
I'm going to just like text him. Is it too early in Toronto? 855-212-4227. Okay, we have lots more football to unpack with you, including more takeaways from last night. Also, big question about the under-the-radar teams that are leading their divisions. Can they win the whole thing? Get to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, an easy way, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Well, some surprising results last night, the Monday Night Football doubleheader, and I think none more than the Cincinnati Bengals losing at home, going to 0-3 against the Washington Commanders, and everything was working for the Commanders, Perloff, to the tune of a big man touchdown that we had. Offensive linemen scoring touchdowns. That was actually Jayden Daniels' first touchdown. Yeah. They were describing who gets to keep the ball.
I know, I love that.
You got to give it to the big man, I think.
But same thing, it's funny, same thing happened with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. They both scored their first touchdowns. Yeah, you have to give that one to the big man. What did you do with Caleb and Odunze when they're both rookies who get their first touchdowns?
I think
you split the ball in half somehow. You just cut it in half and have a flat football.
I think you cut it in half. You split the baby. I have no idea. You fight over it or make it a season long bet. You know, if I do this, you do this, I get to keep the ball. I
think Jayden can give that one up. He just sure seems like he's going to get a bunch more. That lineman, I don't know if he gets a lot more touchdowns.
He's been in the league for 7 years, and this was his first touchdown. Obviously, this happens so rare, but Jaden Daniels, the touchdown to Terry McLaurin that essentially iced the game. It was about a 27-yarder with about 2 minutes left to go. It was beautiful, and I'd almost rather keep that one if I was Jaden Daniels.
Oh, definitely. That was, I mean, there was a 3-inch window to get the ball into, and the fact that McLaurin kept his feet in amazes me. That was crazy. The long bomb to McLaurin where McLaurin was tackled at the 2-yard line.
Beautiful.
That was a thing of beauty. I mean, Jaden Daniels did all this last year. There's no surprise. I mean, he's the combination. I mean, people say he's like Lamar Jackson with a smoother throwing motion. He's got that speed, and he could be a full pocket quarterback already. Like, he already sees the field really well, which is funny because Troy Aikman started off the show and say he's a little late on throws. He's not seeing everything. And then he saw everything last night. He was perfect in every aspect of the game.
He really was. And it was an amazing, amazing game for him, for Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, everybody. And now maybe you got a new, someone new has entered the chat in the NFC. It's not going to be just a total walkover. And I know you're scared about that as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I don't know if I'd be scared about it yet, but I mean, certainly showing that you can go on the road and beat the Bengals is announcing your arrival.
But the Commanders' defense is shaky. I mean, that's a thing. They're
going up against Burrow, though. Like, that's a big test.
Remember the Bucs lit them up in week one. I think the Commanders defense, and they didn't necessarily put all those resources into the defense yet. They let remember Montez Sweat and everybody left and Chase Young left. I think the defense is going to be a vulnerability.
Let's go to our pal George, who's in LA. Not a thought on last night's game, but about your Rams, George, who I think you'd basically left for dead. Then they beat San Francisco. You're back on.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Maggie. I'm back on. Thank God we got Matthew Stafford. I mean, that is one tough guy.
Yep.
They were down 14-0 before they got the first down. It looked like they were going to get buried again. And somehow Stafford wheeled them back into the game, missing two of the top receivers, their cornerback, and half their offensive line wasn't there. And McVay and preaches all week about just grit and keep fighting. Then at the end, their special team showed up, and it was a great win. And they're definitely back into the program. And also, you were mentioning about the teams that were like unexpected, like the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Seahawks, they're not going nowhere. They haven't played anybody. I'm sorry. They play Detroit this Monday night. They will
see about that. Yeah.
And
you think they're going to lose?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And
I like your confidence.
Confident about that, George.
I was at that game yesterday, you guys. I enjoyed the 49er fans crying on the way out of the stadium. My gosh, they're so arrogant.
Well, they have reasons to cry now, George, and appreciate, as always, you checking in about your Rams. Another injury for the 49ers. And I know Rams fans don't want to hear that because they're injured too, up and down. Both sides of the football, bad. Another tough injury, though. Javon Hargrave, the latest for the 49ers, Perloff.
Yeah, he's been disappointing, to be honest.
Big free agent signing for
them. Yeah, once he got that money, the player changed. Let's put it that way. Lions, by the way, 4-point favorites in Detroit against Seahawks. That's pretty close. I'm not sure this is a fait accompli, as George describes.
Yeah, have the Seahawks played anybody? No.
Oh, my God. They had early Bo Nix. Who else? Bryce Young.
It's overtime against the Patriots. But, again, you're coming all the way east, body clock, the whole thing. But then, I mean, you destroyed Miami, who had to go to their backup and then the third string guy.
Yeah, but listen, Miami had looked terrible. So you're right. The Seahawks have not proven much yet. Geno Smith looks really good, but then he's making a couple mistakes. I think I'm with George. I'm not buying them yet.
You know, though, I haven't been so overly impressed with the Lions. They had a good win in Arizona, but I'm waiting for, like, the 38-point offensive explosion the Lions.
I love everything about the Lions. Run that ball, Maggie.
855-212-4227. Coming up, who made the biggest statement yesterday? We'll tell you next.